Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Today's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and today our guest is Paul Hobson, the president and general manager of the Sahara Hotel Casino in Las Vegas, who will talk about the transition from the SLS and back to the Sahara. The establishment of the SLS from the former Sahara didn't go according to plan. The LA hospitality brand didn't resonate in Las Vegas, along with some regulatory hurdles, so when Alex Moreno, the Southern California businessman and owner of the Los Angeles Angels, purchased the property to go along with his Grand Sierra Resort in Reno, he got a bargain. Even though SLS had renovated the former Sahara, Moreno began a program to once again redevelop the original Sahara brand and another renovation. He brought in Las Vegas casino veteran Paul Hobson to lead their effort, and the results are dramatic. Hobson explains how it worked in a discussion with me at his offices in the Sahara in January. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Paul Hobson, the president and general manager of the Sahara in Las Vegas. Paul, it's great to see you here. Just walking quickly through the property here, it's really an improvement. And even though the SLS, they did a nice job, this is another step up.
Well, thank you so much for that. You had a second to talk to our designer who we just happened to pass by in the hallway, and she's done absolutely amazing job transitioning from what was the SLS when we got it to bringing back the name of Sahara to the Strip.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that transition from SLS to Sahara. As I said, it was a nice property, you know, when it was SLS, but bringing back to Sahara, you know, kind of bringing back to its roots. So how difficult was the transition, and what did you do to accomplish that?
Well, I think the most challenging part of doing it was, like, you know, continuing to be open all the way through it.
Right.
When you're doing it piecemeal and you're interrupting the business as you go about it, you know, it's a very, very challenging operationally. But I think that the results certainly speak for themselves.
Sure.
It was worth it. I think we took something that was, you know, very heavy on the nightlife vibe. You know, everything that SBE did was clubs, so the whole place sort of felt like a dark nighttime club.
Right.
And what Alex really wanted to do was, you know, sort of bring back some warmth and light and some great finishes that, you know, create an environment where people want to spend time, day or night, right? So, you know, and I would say that one thing that SLS did, because when the Sahara went out, it definitely wasn't a premium product.
Right.
SLS was a good palate cleanser, I think, for the period of time that it was installed, and it really laid the foundation to reintroduce Sahara as more of a premium, upscale, boutique, intimate property.
Sure.
You know, that's what we're striving for, and that's what we've done in our design.
Sure. So as you walk through the hallways, you see some of the pictures of the old Sahara, and you know, in the old days, it was the premium property in Vegas. You know, with Wayne Newton started here, and so many of the great artists used to come here. So
what do you believe, Louis Prima?
Exactly, right. So what do you believe is the legacy of the Sahara?
Well, I think that you know, we want to lay claim to some of that authenticity. A lot of times, Las Vegas, you know, tears down its legendary properties to make way for what's next. What we wanted to do is, you know, sort of claim that history as our own and use that, you know, foundationally for, you know, creating a new Sahara. And it really is all new, but those items that remind us of the past, you know, give us a reference point, things that we want to, you know, continue to evolve and build on going forward. So we do have some really great pictures on the walls, almost, you know, museum-esque. You know, you can learn a little bit about the people that have passed through here in the 72 years that it's been a fixture on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah, no question. So you've been leading the property for almost 6 years now, and you mentioned that there were a lot of changes, but what were some of the most key changes in your view?
I think, you know, obviously having a single owner like Alex mm-hmm. is, you know, very different for today's Las Vegas. It used to be like that all the time, right? That every property had an individual owner, and that individual sort of had their thumbprint on everything that was going on. Yeah. And you know, now it's the exception. You know, outside of Alex, maybe you have Phil Ruffin, sure, maybe you got Derek downtown.
Right.
But really, you know, being able to work to fulfill what he sees is the vision for the property, and not, you know, having corporate interests that we're reporting to or board of directors. You got one guy,
right.
And you want to do something, you go and talk to that guy,
right?
And, and you go yes or no, and you go fast,
right?
So I think that what we've done here over the last 6 years, you know, might have taken, you know, more than a decade in a different environment,
right?
But you know, we just hit the ground running and went.
Sure. So when you have a single owner, it's pretty easy to turn the ship. You know, not a huge corporation.
Yeah, it's a little bit quicker. And also, you know, I mean, we're talking about the only minority owned casino on the Las Vegas Strip.
Right.
And you know, that sort of helps us, you know, in a lot of ways, because a lot of people are looking for, you know, diversity spend in their group meeting business, things like that. And then you also have a workforce that, you know, looks a lot like Alex's, mm-hmm. you know, extended Hispanic family, and gives us, you know, good standing with that crew as well.
Right. So Alex Merlo also owns the Grand Sierra in Reno, which is really, I guess it is the premier property in Reno. It's a gorgeous property.
Yeah,
they've done a great job with that. So how involved is he with the operations and the strategy for the Sahara?
Oh, very. Like with both of those properties.
Okay.
He owned GSR first.
Right.
And that used to be a Kirk Corcoran property.
Right.
So very, very big. Mm-hmm. Covers a lot of ground.
Right.
You know, built on a big plot of land as well.
Sure.
In fact, has so much land that, you know, right now he's pursuing building an arena similar to T-Mobile is to Las Vegas. An arena for Reno that would be, you know, adjacent to everything that's happening at GSR.
Sure.
So that's, you know, certainly an exciting time. But, you know, much as he's done here, took what was, you know, sort of a challenged property, updated it, you know, where the investment made the most sense,
mm-hmm.
turned it into something, you know, new and special and different than what it was, and had great success. Now, very, very different market,
right?
You know, Reno to Las Vegas, it's much harder to stand out, you know, in Las Vegas, given the depth of the offerings here.
Sure.
There is a price of admission, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be at a very high level just to be in the game. Up there, I think that the high level that there are really, really stands out. And like you said, makes them the premier property in that market.
No question. We've done some stories and interviews with them up there. There's some really talented executives up there. Do you all have get together and have brainstorming sessions or talk about, you know, what you can do with one property? Maybe you can do it another.
Absolutely. No, we are very connected as a team. I mean, being owned as a family business makes us all part of that family.
Right.
So, you know, certainly when we're finding success with certain things, you know, we want to share it with them, and vice versa. And you know, we're looking at opportunities, you know, to deploy, you know, resources, systems across two platforms instead of one.
Right.
You know, looking for advantageous pricing in that regard, and you know, a little bit more volume to our purchases. You know, that's also a great affiliation to have.
Yeah.
But you know, that was Alex's first property,
and
in a lot of ways, you know, his baby,
mm-hmm.
and you know, what he knows about the casino business, he first learned there, and the people that taught him that are still members of the family, and you know, and we do indeed share a lot.
Sure. Okay. Great. So you kind of just getting started when the pandemic hit. How difficult was that for the Sahara in particular?
Man, super difficult.
Yeah.
It just you asking the question sort of takes me back to that point in time where, you know,
you don't want to get depressed.
We were just like really sort of hit our stride in a lot of ways.
Right.
Con Expo mm-hmm. was here.
Yeah.
You know, that trade show was bringing, you know, the right kind of customers mm-hmm. at the right kind of price, and we were, you know, looking really nice, and at the tail end of that show, everything just fell apart.
Right.
And you said, you got to close.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear something like, you got to close, and I'm looking at the doors, and
right.
they don't even have locks on them,
exactly.
Roger.
Right.
I mean, there's no locks on the doors. How do we close? How do we secure yeah. this place? And, you know, it was a, it was definitely a sad week as we prepared for that. And I remember, you know, with the rest of the management team, we were down in the walk-in coolers and
yeah.
on the receiving dock.
Yeah.
And we were putting together bags mm-hmm. of items, everything, you know, produce,
right.
cauliflower,
right.
Yeah, olives,
yeah. right.
Loose six packs of beer,
yeah.
you know, things like that that we could share with our team as they were leaving,
mm-hmm.
not knowing, you know, when we might see them again
sure.
and what the future held,
right.
you
yeah.
know, for that near term, what they were going to need in their lives mm-hmm. To get by.
Right.
And so we were making up care packages of the things that we knew that, you know, we weren't going to be able to keep around
right.
and send them out the door with it. And so that, you know, really, really resonated as we got a little bit further into it, you know, keeping that core
mm-hmm.
team together to, you know, basically prepare for the day that, you know, we knew that was coming that we'd be able to reopen.
Sure.
But then reopening in that diminished capacity in those, you know, in those couple of months, you know, after what was it, in June probably,
right.
You know, that was super challenging as well. So I know every operator you talk to will tell you the same thing. It was
right.
you know pretty unprecedented. A lot of improvisation, a lot of ad-libbing, trying to do right by everybody from
sure.
you know the guests to the regulators to the team members. To make sure that we were in good standing for when we emerged from, you know, some of
right.
that limited capacity, and certainly that's the way it played out, but it lasted a lot
yeah.
longer than I would have expected.
Sure.
And,
right.
and the recovery certainly wasn't immediate. We still have the hangover in Las Vegas, I think, from, you know, we don't have the same level of international travel
right.
that
yeah,
we had
sure.
prior to that, and
mm-hmm.
that disruption, you know, will eventually return, but it's not coming suddenly.
Sure.
That's for
right.
sure.
Right. Great. So were you able to do some of the changes, you know, while the property was closed? I mean, you mentioned, doing some of the construction and things like that, you know, when you're open, but
yes.
So,
yes.
so did that kind of help you a little bit?
Well, it did in a way. And Alex, you know, certainly all of his businesses were disrupted
sure,
through
right,
the pandemic.
Right.
And he's the kind of guy that's reinvesting, you know, the
right.
money as it comes in to
mm-hmm.
build, you
right.
know, the host of things
mm-hmm.
that he's involved with, right? So, you know, capital was
right.
a little bit scarce for sure, but his commitment never wavered.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we were able to do was continue development of the restaurants in particular. Like, we had moved our primary restaurant lineup from what was the, you know, sort of the middle back of the casino.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to put that on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Sure,
so
right.
we pivoted to that side.
Okay.
And we were able to keep construction going on those projects so
okay.
that, you know, we were able now to be fully outfitted
sure.
on that side. But it does bring to mind all the supply chain disruptions
right.
that were in place
yeah.
where we were entirely finished with one of our great restaurants here with a great James Beard Award winning
mm-hmm.
chef named Sean McClain. It's called Bala,
okay.
Italian Soul. It, really terrific. If you haven't tried it, you gotta
yeah.
try it. But we were done, except
yeah.
for one piece of equipment. We needed the air handler that was designed specifically
yeah.
for, you know, the HVAC in,
sure.
in that room. And months went by.
Yeah.
Months went by.
Yeah.
Till we could, you know, finally get it and install it.
Yeah.
But, you know, makes it all the more remarkable
sure.
that Fountain Blue was able to open on time.
Right.
Because, you know, we were having that sort of disruption. I can't imagine the things that they ran into as they tried to finish that building.
Sure. Great, great. So we were talking about the legacy of Sahara. Does the legacy include some of the old customers of the original Sahara?
I haven't met a lot of those, to
yeah,
be honest
good.
With you,
because they'd be pretty old. Right
yeah,
now, right?
Certainly, it's certainly the Sahara has been,
yeah.
been around a long time, but we have had the chance to talk to people that Sahara was an important part of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming up, maybe working here as they were getting
right.
into the industry. A lot of people have, you know, some sort of tie to it in their past,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, so we sort of have continuity in that thread that runs through the community in that manner.
Sure, sure. Okay. So you know, every property in Las Vegas says locals are important to them, but locals are really kind of abandoning the Strip with this, you know, parking fees now. I just drove into your garage and you have no parking fees.
No fee, right? You're able to drive right into the park. Well, and I hope you had a good experience, you know, leading up to that, because, yeah, you know, it is really hard to get into the places, Center Strip.
Right.
And, you know, where we sit off of Sahara, it's mm-hmm. easy to hop off of, you know, I-15.
Right.
You know, head to Las Vegas Boulevard. It's quick right and quick left, and you're in right. you're in our free parking garage. Mm-hmm. And you know, we think that you know, definitely is it is an amenity that we enjoy putting out there, and you know, being able to tell people,
sure,
that
right.
you know, if you want to come out and have dinner at Bizarre Meats one night, celebrate a special occasion, that type of thing, you know, parking's not going to be a problem for you. You get in easy, you get out easy, and there's right. and there's no fee.
So how important is the locals market to you?
How important is what?
The locals market to you.
Well, I think that the most important part of it is, you know, everybody that works here lives here,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So as far as the labor market goes,
yeah, sure.
we're deep in the locals market.
Right.
But, you know, I think most people will tell you that your strongest locals market is the rooftops around
right.
you.
Right.
And some of our most compelling rooftops are, you know, in the high-rise condo towers
sure.
that we have there. So,
right.
so Turnberry is a really important, you know, development for us. The Allure Tower, you
right.
know, right up on Sahara, is also, not to mention, you know, some of the old neighborhoods
sure.
like Scotch Eaton's
and
things like that.
Some of them are very elevated neighborhoods
right.
these days, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we want to be those people's place,
mm-hmm.
you know, for
okay.
their for their outings, for their entertainment, for their meals, for their gaming, and you know, we do quite well with that. I think that, you know, we're fairly aggressive in our club and our offerings, and it's segmented by local and non-local, and we try to structure things in a way that, you know, would
sure.
would please those real frequent guests that might be here two or three times a week,
right.
You know, versus, you know, the people that are coming, you know, once or twice a year
sure.
and flying in from another market. So we certainly take that into account, and we've had good luck growing that, you know, since the
right.
since the SLS era.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So you have a new neighbor, the Fontainebleau, opened about a month ago. They're having some operational problems, but nonetheless, it's a closer casino to you. People will walk there and maybe walk a little further to see you.
Yeah, well, we definitely share some DNA with them,
yeah.
and not just where we sit, but you know, a lot of the folks that, you know, were working with us
right.
here and building
right.
this out, you know, wound up taking positions there as well.
Yeah.
You know, from line level to
mm-hmm.
To upper management.
Sure.
So there is a connection, and you always, you know, wish people the best when they're when they find an opportunity they think is going to be great for them and take that step.
Sure.
So it's nice to have friends over there to talk to and sort of compare notes and
yeah.
be able to cooperate with on when you have the ability to collaborate on some stuff. It's important to us
yeah,
that,
sure.
that they're successful and they do well, and it, you know, really brings some gravity to this end.
Right.
It's early still,
yeah, sure.
as I'm sure
right.
that they would tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 3,700 rooms is a lot of rooms.
A lot of rooms,
I mean,
yeah.
a lot of rooms. And to start from, you know, no presence in Las Vegas
mm-hmm.
or in gaming, really,
right.
and build that business and build that database. You
right.
know, there's going to be a ramp up. And,
sure.
you know, so we're certainly prepared for that.
Yeah.
I hope that they are.
Yeah.
And that we think that long term, that, you know, it will be a symbiotic relationship, and, you know, just as people enjoy circulating Center Strip,
right.
you know, having a couple options for people, whether it's staying, you know, here and being able to visit, you know, Fontainebleau or Resorts World, or they're staying at Fontainebleau
sure.
and then coming this way to check us out or change their luck or,
mm-hmm.
you know, have a little change of pace. I mean, that doesn't do anything but help.
Right, right. So you mentioned database. You know, you opened this SLS opened without a database, and when you came in, you didn't have any really a deep Las Vegas database. How have you been building that?
Well, as I said before, trying to do things, you know, incentive wise in our
mm-hmm.
in our club that appeals
right.
to the that appeals to the right type of person.
Right.
We would like to utilize, you know, a good portion of our hotel rooms
mm-hmm.
for casino customers
sure.
and have them take, you know, a bigger proportion of our overall inventory.
Right.
You just need to find qualified customers
sure.
to do that. So, you know, we've done some innovative things in that regard, not just on the club side, but also on the team member side.
Right.
You know, dealers are in short supply these days.
Sure.
And it used to be that, you know, casinos would run their own dealer school.
Right.
And then, you know, sort of the private sector turned it over. And if you wanted to be a dealer, you would go pay somewhere to, you know, teach you how to deal blackjack. What we did is we sort of reverted back to running our own dealer school, advertising for the right kind of person that, you know, is really into service, wants to be in this, be in this industry, and grow our own dealers that are, you know, going to provide the type of guest experience that that we see as being, you know, so important to us and our future. And, you know, that's been going great. We've been at it for about 8 months now. Mm-hmm. We've had 4 graduating classes.
Okay.
We've had minimal turnover of those people that have gone through that. And, you know, we really, it's gratifying not just to see the results in revenue, but also to see the results in our survey and our service scores that, you know, our guests notice the difference.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to actually hire the person you think will have the service background or will understand service is important as a dealer as much just as important as being accurate.
Yeah, and I think that is one thing as a community that we could do a little bit better. I don't think that people know the magnitude of the opportunities that Las Vegas offers.
Sure.
And it doesn't stop with dealers.
Right. Sure.
I mean, I don't think that a lot of people, you know, say living in you know, San Bernardino,
right,
know that, you know, if they moved up the road, you know, 3-4 hours, you know, that there's, you know, there's jobs here that you could come in with minimal experience.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a couple, you know, you could both get jobs in housekeeping pretty soon. I mean, immediately, within a couple weeks, your household income is $100,000.
Yeah.
Right. And you get free health care, right? Because that's paid for, you know, through us, through the union, right? So we're paying for that and pension and more than a living wage.
Right.
And, you know, you all of a sudden you got enough, you know, to make your car payment, you got enough to buy a place, right?
Right. Sure.
You send your kids to school. I mean, I talk to people that have been here for a long time and have raised generations that very way, and their kids are, you know, getting out of college now. Right.
Yeah.
And,
sure.
And they're, you know, entering professions that are making Las Vegas, you know, even stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a great cycle. But I don't think that I don't think people know.
Yeah.
And I want more people to understand that, because, you know, we just aren't automatically creating more people to work in this industry.
Sure.
We need it. We need to work at that.
Right. Right. Okay. Tell us your strategy on entertainment. I've been in the showroom. Obviously, it's a legendary showroom with, like you mentioned, Louis Prima and Wayne Newton, and you know, hundreds of other legendary acts have been in there. But when it was redesigned, it was done pretty well. I really enjoyed. You know, I went to a conference there when it first opened. And,
oh, that's great.
And you know, I really liked the showroom. How has that been working for you? And what? How does that affect your entertainment strategy?
Well, if we're going to talk about entertainment at Sahara, first and foremost, we got to talk about Magic Mike Live.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And that show doesn't occur in the theater. That occurs in a space that we built specifically for them. And it's been a great association with us and Channing Tatum, and, you know, put that show on stage in a bespoke theater.
I just did a podcast with Simon Thomas from the Hippodrome, where
he's
got a Magic Mike show too.
Yeah, exactly.
He just can't stop raising
it. So Simon has been here. We had a meal at Noodle Den,
and
we went and saw the show together and compared notes about the experience of being in business with them. Great guy. But that being said, you know, that's been a great traffic generator for us, and, you know, it's really sort of best in class in you know, sort of a female celebration show. It's not it's not a striptease thing.
Yep, right.
It's really a production show with a lot of great, you know, performances, from dancing to singing to telling a story. You know, there's some great props that come in and out. And it's just, you know, a really, really fun night out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went with my wife, and it was a rewarding experience.
Yeah.
So that's fun. But as it relates to the theater, we you know, right now aren't continuously programmed in there, mm-hmm. but we do some promoted shows, yeah. and you know, it is a nice setup for that because it's fairly turnkey. Mm-hmm. Somebody can come in, there's a video right. element to it, the audio's all plug and play and ready to go, and we can, you know, get something going really quickly in there.
Right.
We are in discussions with others about installing, you know, more of a permanent production show.
Right.
And I think we'll be ready to announce something really soon. But I think it's the kind of thing that, you know, sort of will appeal to a wider array of people than Magic Mike does, but also, you know, in a really fun way, and
sure.
something that isn't happening right now in Las Vegas, so it'll be it'll be unique in that aspect of it. So when that happens, I'll call you first.
Great. So I know you've got a really aggressive food and beverage strategy as well. You mentioned the new restaurant, the new Italian restaurant. I got a chance to go to Bizarre Meats one time, and I thought it was one of the most fantastic meals I ever had.
That's a universal sentiment.
Yeah, it's an incredible property. So where are you going with that strategy then?
Well, I think in a lot of ways you could say those restaurants are emblematic of how we see the property, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, Magic Mike was best in class.
Right.
We had a lot of best in class, you know, restaurants
right.
as well. You know, we have a best in class, you know, sports bar
yeah.
in Chickies and Pete's. Like
mm-hmm.
that's an East Coast brand that
right.
you won't find
sure.
outside
I
of
know,
the Philadelphia
very well.
area, right? But you know, we were their first. Their first restaurant, you know, in the West,
right?
And you know, it's a licensed concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came in and taught us everything we needed to know about the brand, and we executed every day. And they couldn't be more pleased,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
with us, and nor us with them. So you know, it's great. We're in the middle of football playoffs right now,
right,
Super
yeah.
Bowl
mm-hmm.
coming up, and we've become that spot. You talk about locals,
right.
we've become that spot that a lot of locals want to come,
mm-hmm.
you know, and spend the day watching,
right.
Watching games with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's also a food forward sports bar. Like, you know, it's not just about coming
sure.
and getting a beer and watching the game. Like, the things that we're putting in front of you on the menu, you know, are really special.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, you know, Crab House
sure,
as
right.
well. So it's tons of seafood as
mm-hmm.
well as, you know, Philly cheesesteaks.
Right.
So, you know, that's a really great feature for us. And you move one restaurant up and you'll find the Noodle Den.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, you know, some of the greatest Asian artisans, you
mm-hmm.
know, making dim sum and hand pulled noodles in that restaurant, as well as, you know, wok favorites,
right.
You know, the things that you'd find in a great Chinese restaurant. And you know, not only is that great for the people that are, you know, staying in the hotel and looking for, you know, something quick to eat, but it's also good for the Asian customers that
right.
are playing, you know, in our baccarat room.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it sort of serves the purpose of reinforcing the
sure.
The casino brand.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move up one more space and you're at Bala Italian Soul, and I told you about, you know,
right.
Chef Sean and being a James Beard winner.
Right.
And a lot of people don't know this, but he was also an Iron Chef winner.
Oh, really?
Like, he competed on the TV show Iron Chef and won his episode.
Okay.
You know, but he's he's an amazing partner, super creative, but developed that restaurant specifically for us
mm-hmm.
and what we were looking for. And it has really, you know, great but novel Italian
mm-hmm.
Italian favorites, you know, sort of presented
right.
in a way you might not have seen somewhere else, or crafted in a way that, you know, just elevates it with the ingredients
right.
and the technique that
mm-hmm.
they use. So, you know, super happy with that. It's a great room, has olive trees in it, has patio windows in
yeah.
the front, so you're sort of like you're on the veranda
sure.
overlooking
right.
the strip. So that's
yeah.
That's pretty cool. And then, of course, you mentioned Bizarre Meats. And that's the next stop up
right.
that row, and you know, to be in business with Jose Andreas
right,
right now, I don't think that you could find a more popular or beloved chef for, you know, his philanthropy as well as his skills in
sure.
the kitchen. And you know, that's become something of the institution. We're almost 10 years in on that restaurant,
sure.
and you know, filling it, you know. every night. And it's not a short experience, right?
No,
I mean, when you go there, you're going to be there for a couple of hours, and you're going to enjoy every minute of it and every morsel they put in front of you. So, you know, that's great. And we also have our coffee shop, which is called Zephyr's, and, you know, they get your breakfast and lunch, and we have a great street taco place called Uno Mas, and those are both our concepts, but, you know, that culinary quality,
right.
You know, that's also part of our DNA, and we really lead with that in a lot of ways. Have a really skilled team that put those restaurants together and execute them night in and night out. It's really, really great.
Great. So you also have a lot of meeting space, some really nice ballrooms. I've been in several of them, and you know, it's easy to get to. You know, it's not like you have to walk all the way across the property like some Las Vegas meeting areas. And also, you're at the terminus of the monorail, so people can get to a Las Vegas Convention Center or anything up the strip very, very easily. So how important is that in your overall strategy of the meetings and conventions business?
No, very important. And you mentioned the monorail, of course. Right. So that's a great connection to any citywide that's going on utilizing the convention center. So it makes us, you know, a real compelling place to stay for that. But I wish we indexed a little bit more to meeting space, to be honest with you. I could use more. You know, we're kind of a tweener, right? You know, I think we can comfortably handle, you know, 500 or 600 person groups, but that puts us out of, you know, sort of the 1,000 or 1,200 people that we'd like to see. This week we're very busy with a group that's taken up 1,100 of our hotel rooms, you know, tonight, tomorrow, and the next. Uh-huh. And to pull that off, you know, we're utilizing, you know, the restaurants during the day, know, kind of serve their meals and, you know, sort of use those as adjuncts to the meeting space to be able to do the program. But, you know, what's cool about that is I think that's more memorable than having your breakfast or lunch in a in a meeting room.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're kind of in a more novel environment.
Right, right.
You know, sort of a fun venue.
It gets them to know the property, and maybe they'll come back when they're not in a convention.
Yeah, well, you definitely get to see a lot more of it and see the quality of it.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that I would just drive home about, you know, Sahara, is that it's really all new. And if you have, you know, a notion in your head of what Sahara was, you know, in the year 2000, you need to wipe that. You need to wipe that clean.
Sure, right.
You need to come and check this out, because it really is, you know, sort of a premium and, you know, fun property to experience.
Sure, no question. So we've had a lot of great events in Vegas over the past year. We just had F1 in November. Didn't come by the property, but it was still on the strip. And of course, we've got the Super Bowl coming in a couple of weeks as well. How did you do during F1, and then what are you doing to prepare for the Super Bowl?
Well, of those two events, I will tell you that for us, Super Bowl much stronger than F1. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think that, you know, Las Vegas is becoming, you know, more known as a place for, you know, sports that actually you're experiencing the event here. I am fully supportive of having, you know, F1 here. I think that they just need to change the approach a little bit to attract a broader range of people. You know, it was horribly disruptive for, you know, for everybody, you know, that was on the race course.
Like
and the only people that are really, you know, touting how great it was, you know, were those premium properties that were on the race course.
Right.
So I think the, you know, LVCVA certainly owes it to everybody to work with Formula One to make sure that the make sure that that abundance is more widely spread.
Sure, no question about that. So what do you see as the future of Sahara? It's such a great location, and you've got, you know, you have Fountain Blue now. You know, there's actually talk of them building the A's stadium across the street at the festival grounds. I don't know, who knows where that's going to end up.
Well, that was early on.
Yeah.
I mean, that seemed to be, you know, to use the F1 term, that seemed to have pole position, you know, for a while in where the stadium might be. for us, you know, if that were to turn around and come to be, that would definitely be a game changer for the neighborhood.
Sure.
And I
right.
think, you know, just for Las Vegas in general, it's such a more balanced place.
Yeah, it makes
you know,
more sense,
that,
I think.
For that feature.
For
not just for us, but for downtown, for the rest of the North Strip. And I already said how easy it is to get in and out of here.
Sure, right.
I don't think you can say the same for I-15 and Tropicana. Right.
I mean, mess they have at Tropicana now. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. So you know, it. I guess it's one of the one of the downfalls maybe of you know sort of being outside of the incorporated city where it makes planning a little bit harder and the land use. But if there was a way to steer the A's to that location, I mean, we certainly lobbied for it and would be fully supportive and of you know doing everything we could to make that happen. But that being said, you know, we realize that you know the cavalry's not charging over the hill to make us successful,
right? Exactly.
You know, we have to do the work, and so you know that's what we're about. We're trying to build those relationships with our guests and with our team that you know will make this a vibrant and sustainable business for the next 70 years.
Great.
And I think that you know certainly having new development like you know Fountain Blue. Freeing up that lot that's next to us in between Fountain Blue and Sahara, you know, to maybe get a new feature going there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's encouraging.
Sure, right.
That, you know, some neat stuff will happen in the future, and you know we'll be there. You know, ready to not only make it happen, but receive it when it does.
Right. Great. Well, congratulations on what you've done here. It's a beautiful property, and I think once people start to realize that this isn't the old Sahara, that it's the new Sahara, I think there's gonna be a lot of people that will continue to come here and make it their base in Las Vegas.
Well, thanks, Roger. Tell your friends.
Great. I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed today's GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments. Learn more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at pavilionpayments.com. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. And don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts today. And we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.